Hi there, and welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. Have you ever wondered how a disabled person lives their life? Join our host, Lois Drachen, as she chats to people about work, education, travel, sport, the arts, and leisure, and the tools and techniques they use to live their lives with the disability. And now, on with the show.
Hi there, it's Lois. If you're a person with a disability who's wanting to achieve a goal and is looking for some help to get there, then maybe I'm the person you need to talk to. Listen after the interview and find out more details of how I can help you to reach your goals and dreams. Thanks today to Hindenburg Pro for assisting us in producing the show. That's Hindenburg.com. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Seeing, a podcast where we talk all things disability. I'm your host, Lois Drachen, and today we are being joined by Saida Victoria, all the way from Texas in the USA. Saida, welcome to the show. It is great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It is such an honor to be here. I'm so glad that you invited me. And I love, by the way, how you say my name.
I just, names are important.
And yes, I love it.
I think, well, thank you. I'm glad that, firstly, I'm glad that I got it right.
Yes, you absolutely did.
I'm glad that you enjoy the way I say it. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
So, Saida, I usually start off the show by asking people to just introduce themselves to the listeners, to the viewers on YouTube, and just give us a little bit of your story. So who is Saida? And what is your story?
All right. Well, gosh, my story is so long. So I'll try to pinpoint some key points that I think your listeners may be interested in. Well, for one, I am a totally blind woman, and I live in Houston, Texas, but I am from California. I went blind at the age of 30. I am 50 now, so I've been blind about 20 years. And I went blind from a disease called neuromyelitis optica, which is a rare disease. And actually, I didn't know what caused my blindness for about 7 years after I went blind. So that was crazy in itself, right? Just not knowing. I actually even gave myself a shot every day because I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And so I did a treatment of MS for a whole year. But beyond that, my blindness has, I like to think that it has reborn me, right? Because I'm not the same person I was when I was 29. Okay. The sight in me is definitely, not the best me in my mind. So, of course, when I went blind, I went through the whole, my life is over. I'm never going to be able to be independent. I'm going to have to count on people. You know, I really did not even know that I could live a very happy, full life in a different way. So I'm also, just to get back, I'm a mother as well. So when I went blind, I had four children. The oldest was 12, the youngest was 5. And it kind of, me going blind didn't just affect me, it affected my whole immediate family. And, well, my whole family completely, but more importantly to me was, you know, my children. And so, and then I had a daughter after going blind as well. So I've had kind of the experiences of both motherhoods on both ends. But, when I went blind, and I, you know, went through my phase of living or thinking my life was over. My kids are the reasons why I decided to get up and get out of this woe is me, my life is over type of feelings to, oh my God, my kids, who's going to take care of my kids? Like, what am I supposed to show my kids that because I'm blind now, you know, they don't have a mother anymore? And from that day, when I realized that, I've just gone full-fledged since then. So I now, you know, work very, very closely with the BBI community, and I'm very passionate about helping others to come to those same realizations that took me a little while to come to understand, because it's important that people know, you know, blindness is not a death sentence. You know, there's so much more than being blind. And I really, really fight and try hard to make sure that, you know, people are aware of that. Because you know what? At the end of the day, I never thought I would go blind at the age of 30. That was not something I ever thought of. So I say that to say it can happen to anybody, right? Yes. And anything can happen to anybody. So, you know, and if, you know, something like this happens where people know of somebody that this happens to, life is not, it's not over at all. So
it's such an important thing because, you know, I think people who don't have any personal contact with disability of any kind often believe that it cannot happen to them. They, you know, it's not in their plans. It's not in their future. I mean, aren't all people with disabilities people who were that way from birth?
Yeah.
And I've been given, I don't know how accurate they are, but I've been told the statistics are something like only 20% of people with disabilities acquired them at birth.
Yes.
And for the rest of us, for both you and I, and for Joseph as well, who's your, well, we'll talk about Joseph in a little bit later. Well, we will mention Joseph. We're not talking about him. But, you know, your host on Blind Table Talk, the podcast, you know, all three of us have acquired our disabilities at a later age.
Yes.
So it's a really interesting kind of myth to bring to people's awareness that it can literally happen to anyone at any time.
Anytime. Anyway, and you know, like I know, no, that's okay. But you know, like I know that when that happened, when I lost, you don't realize how much you take sight for granted, right?
That's so true.
You don't realize how much you relied on those little eyes of yours until they're gone.
Yeah.
And we can say that about anything, right?
So, and following on from that, I believe very strongly that, yes, the eyes are probably the easiest way to learn about the world. But that doesn't mean that they are necessarily the only way or the best way.
Absolutely.
And we are able
to, the hard way.
We have to learn. We have all had to learn to use our other senses to fill in the gaps and to help us, which is the name of the podcast, to see the world in a different way.
Different. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So as a mom, as a woman, who is Saida right now in terms of what you do and how you occupy your time?
So right now, you know what, the thing is, and people tell me this, I wear a lot of hats. I wear a lot of hats, but you know what? They're happy hats, if that makes sense, right? Because I do what I enjoy doing. So past my family, my youngest child is 17. So at this point in my life, she's, you know, doesn't need mommy as much as she did, you know, 5 years ago anymore. So it freed up a lot of my time to do me. Right. And that, and that's, oh gosh, that's what I've been waiting for. You know, you've got all these kids. Now it's time to do me and focus on me and building a better me. Right. Now, part of what I am about, what makes me be better and want to achieve and accomplish is my community, is the blind and visually impaired, because I just am so passionate about, you know, I always say, my daughter laughs when I say this, but my people, right? These are my people. So I dedicate a lot of my time to them, to us, to just empowering. So I guess the first thing, which the longest thing that I've been doing since 2019 is I started a nonprofit organization called Blind Professionals Network. And that is where we unite barriers to, unite blind and visually impaired to break barriers and achieve professional success. And that's anything employment related, anything development, professional development related, we provide those services. And I started that so that us as a community can come together to, you know, get skilled and get trainings and things that are going to help us to succeed in the sighted world, because really this is a sighted world, right?
Yes.
Job, employment, that's crazy. It's hard for us to work. We have to fight extra hard. And I get that. We do. And I don't care how well you are with your computer skills or your sister technology. I don't care how well you are with anything. You will always have to fight harder than somebody that is sighted. Just the reality of it.
Yeah, I mean, that is, again, such true words, because literally when you, as unfair as it is, when you walk into a room or onto a Zoom call or onto a Teams call for that interview, unfortunately, you are preceded by your visual impairment. And that does impact on the way that most people, and I'm not saying all, but sadly, most people go, how are we going to be able to accommodate them?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It is a reality. Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, do that to try to help people to understand too, you know, I know we are equal. Okay. I feel like we are equal. We are equal, but there's, you know, we have to just prove that we're equal a little bit more than a non-disabled person, right? Or an able person. So, but I'm able too. So I'm just going to say non-disabled person. So,
it's a term I prefer as well. Yeah. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah. So then with that, and then from there, and then I also, I also work in my daytime job with blind and visually impaired as well. I actually work for the Lighthouse of Houston, and I am the manager of education and training there. And what do I do there? Again, I help bring trainings to people in our community. So I am also, and there we develop the assisted tech trainings and to teach those that, you know, even on their phones and also with the devices that can help them. I just recently developed a customer service certification program, which will teach not just, you know, it's not teaching you how to use JAWS, but it's teaching you how to utilize your screen readers in a fast-paced customer service type of environment. Because when you're on the phones, you're talking to your clients, you have to toggle back and forth to type your notes to the systems, to the phones. I mean, there's so many things that you have to do. But then on top of that technical side, it also teaches the customer service skills, those soft skills that are needed with customer service as well.
Yeah.
So that's important too. So that's what I do. I always joke and say that's my day job. And then I have a few years back, we have started That's Blind Table Talk, which is the podcast and community, actually, because there's so much that goes into what Blind Table Talk and as far as spreading awareness. And really, that's the main focus for Blind Table Talk, but not just spreading awareness to sighted society and all that, but amongst one another, too. So we want to empower and connect our own community and beyond. Because, you know, let's just face it, there's sometimes somebody that, for example, me, when I just went blind at 30, I didn't know any blind people. I didn't know any service. Yeah. I didn't know anything was out there for us. So that's what we try to do with PTT, is just spread awareness amongst all over, just to make sure that, you know, we're heard and that we know we are not alone.
And I've been a follower of the Blind Table Talk podcast and community since I was first introduced to it, when you and your fellow host, Joseph Leakes, were interviewed on Aaron Richmond's, Aaron's Opinion show.
Yes, and you thought, were at our table too.
This sounds awesome. I've got to follow this podcast. So we will actually be learning a lot more about Blind Table Talk, about the services you offer, and of one which I'm particularly intrigued to learn more about, but we'll save that as a teaser for that conversation. Blind Table Talk Awards, because those intrigued me, and I was really fascinated to look through the list of nominations and the criteria and
the category. It's a lot of work goes into that, but you know,
I can well imagine.
Yes, but you know, we're here, right? Yeah. Why can't we get recognized? And a lot of people do it, and that's okay. The more people that recognize us, the better, right? Yeah. And so I just feel like a little special recognition goes a long way in helping to inspire and empower us to keep going and doing what we're doing.
So true. And again, you know, one of the other interviews that I've had recently was with Joseph Leakes, the co-host. And he made a really good point during our conversation. He said, you know, when he was a child at school, his school kept bringing in role models. Mm-hmm. And those role models were instrumental in helping the learners, the children, to think, wow, I can do this too.
Yes.
And he said, why don't we have those same role models as members of the blind and visually impaired or BVI community?
Right. Yes,
why aren't we teaching BVI children that they can dream to be more? Absolutely. They can aspire to be more. And it was such a powerful statement that he made. Mm-hmm. So, I think we're definitely going to be chatting about those awards in more detail.
Yes, we're excited about that. And that is exactly what it is because, you know, we are, you know, we got to think about our future, you know, blind BVI young youth that are coming up, right? Yeah. If we're not setting those right examples or giving them someone like them to look up to, that could be, you know, I stayed in a box a long time when I first went blind because I'd never seen anybody that could, that, you know, was successful. Yeah. And we're not going to talk Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles. That does not count. I'm talking about my peers, right? Those are not my peers. I'm sorry. But yeah, and so that's what, you know, Joseph's thing and my thing behind the BTT Awards, not only showing, giving recognition, but showing our youth and others that may be in a place where they don't believe that they can achieve.
Yeah. You know, I have a very strongly held belief that, sure, being blind, I may do things in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But just because my tools and techniques are different from a sighted person's, it doesn't mean that they are inferior. Right. The way I read, the way I engage with my laptop, it's not a, oh, shame, you poor thing, you can't use a computer properly. I'm using it as properly as anybody else who's using it using sight, just using it differently. And different does not mean inferior.
So absolutely.
It's trying to break that stereotype as well, that it's like, oh, you poor thing, you can't do these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly. Especially when, hey, look, let's not forget, I have sighted coworkers that they come to, I can use my computer better than they can.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But a lot of it too, you know, for me, and this is another key point with the whole awareness thing, right? Because some people just don't know. And they just don't, and I know, and we say this famous thing, and we talked about it on one of our recent episodes, like about having to continuously educate right? And yeah. and make awareness. And sometimes that can get overwhelming in itself because it there's can. So many that times that, you know, and they're teachable moments, but are we going to use that teachable moment every time? And I don't do it every time, and I'm guilty of that, but we really should if we want to make a difference in that. And I know that it can get very, you know, I don't want to say irritating, but sometimes you just want to be. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but at the same time, you have to really like gauge what's going on, because is this a person that you want to walk away from you continuing to believe whatever ignorance they were just believing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I feel like, yes, we probably do need to educate all the time. And I get that may not want to, but at the same time, there's so many out there that just don't know. And that's one of the reasons why it's important for, you know, podcasts like yours, like ours, you know, all of our podcasts. Mm-hmm. I think this is what we're doing. We're trying to spread the awareness to society that we are here too. You know, but the thing is, and I recently learned this now, BTT, my focus was, you know, I wanted it to be all about blind and for the blind and everything blind. Right. And I, you know, cause I'm just, my daughter says I'm pro-blind, and yes, I am, you know, I'm just very pro-blind, but at the same time, the stuff that we are educating about, blind people already know. Yeah. So we need to expand and open it up to the sighted community, because they're the ones that need to know this stuff.
True.
You know,
because, what is the saying about preaching to the choir?
Yes, exactly.
We know because we have to.
Exactly.
Although, yes. Having said that as well, I think there still is a place for sharing information to other members of the BVI community, because like
I definitely agree.
You mentioned, and as I was when I first became blind, I didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know what was there, who was there. I didn't know where to go to find out.
Right.
And I think that there is definitely a place to empower and educate people going through the process of coming to terms with a visual impairment, learning, wanting to move forward, and we can help them shortcut that process.
Oh, absolutely. I will continue to do it all. You know, it doesn't matter that, you know, we can open, and this is what I told my whole team, you know, I respect opening it up to the sighted community and doing things, but I will never stop making my primary focus is the BVI community and bringing awareness and educating and showing them that their life is not over. Cause that's what's most important to me, because I seen it and I needed to see it. And that's what we need to see as, you know, those that have lost sight later on. Sighted people can tell you all day long, oh, you can do this. You can have a happy life. But, and I was told that over and over again. By sighted people. It didn't stick to them. It didn't stick that they were telling me. And I'm like, how do you know? You don't know this. It didn't hit me until I got around other BVIs and they were saying, oh, you can do this. And you can, and guess what? I know that they did it. They're blind just like me. So maybe I can do it.
Yeah.
I think I can. Well, let me try it. But it has to come from us.
Oh. And how?
And how? Exactly. Yeah,
sometimes sharing those. I like you, I believe very strongly in sharing information, sharing tools, sharing resources, sharing experiences, sharing stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how we learn.
Yeah, exactly.
Saida, I hope you won't mind if we go into a slightly different direction, but I want to chat to you about being a mother to 5 children as someone with or who is blind. What were the challenges? What were the most difficult things that you had to navigate
So, as, you know,
as a bad mom.
Yeah. So, you know, this is over the 20 years, there's been a lot of changes and variations in how I felt and how the things that I was, my challenges, right?
As your children grow up, their understanding shifts as well.
And it does. But you know what's funny? Listening to my 17-year-old daughter and my 28-year-old daughter tell the differences between their childhoods, right? Mm-hmm. My 28-year-old, she was what, 8 when I went blind. She had me in the beginning. She had me when I thought my life was over. Right.
Yeah.
She didn't, you know, my 17-year-old, she, by the time she was 8, I was strong in my blind game, you know, so she didn't see the weak, you know, the scary. Exactly. So, and it was funny because I do a segment on the podcast called Sassy Seed. And I actually sat down with both of them and asked them. And this is when I found out how they felt. And for me, when I first went blind, you know, I felt bad for my kids. Okay. I felt bad for my kids because I'm like, they didn't sign up to have a blind mom. This is not what they, you know, this is not what their life was, you know, supposed to be like. And so then after, you know, after I'm got over all my stuff. So that's not, and remember, none of this happened overnight, you know, but
we all have our own journey.
Yes.
And it takes as long as it needs to.
Yeah. And once I realized that, I said, you know what? My kids, I still can give them a good life. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that is what I was, you know, focused on doing. After I went blind, I had to make sure that my kids were not, did not have a different childhood than other kids, right? Yeah. It would be different in the fact of, yes, I am, you know, their mother's blind, but you're still going to be going to, you know, football games. You're still be going to your friend's house. We're still going to take trips. We're still going to be going to, you know, I still wanted to make sure they did those type of things and were kids. So I think the struggle for me, my main struggle was not being able to see a lot of these monumental moments, that these milestones that happen in their lives, right? You know, my kids' graduations and, you know, different awards that they won, things that were so visual for me.
Yes.
In the beginning, that was tough. Now, fast forward, I don't cry about it anymore because now it's like my daughter, you know, she'll be graduating next year. In my mind, I have a visual of all of this stuff. And once I visualize it, I still feel like I can see it. I'm there. I put in the work to get these kids where they're at, right? I put in the work to do all of this. So it is going to have to be enough for me to be there, be present in the moment and not see it. That's not, I put too much importance on the actual seeing.
Yeah.
It's not worth it to me. It's not the stress and that I go through over wishing I could see or crying about seeing it. It's not worth it because I'm still here. We're coming home. They're leaving, you know. So that was, you know, one of the challenges of just getting over not being able to see things. Then having to, you know, I had teenagers really quick. You know, my kids were, you know, teenagers, and I was a single mom for a long time, you know. As soon as I got my skills, my technology skills, my phone skills, my computer skills, you know, I was detective all, I mean, school, I had to make sure I stood on top of things because I never wanted my kids to think because their mom is blind that they can get over on me. Right.
Yeah.
And so no. I mean, I would do stuff like set traps in my house when they, so they couldn't sneak out. I did things like that just so, and even to find out when they come home, because sometimes they had curfews and I would be at home sleep. Well, I would make sure something was in front of that door that they would not be able to hide. So I mean, it definitely got creative, right? And so those were a little bit of the challenges. When I had my youngest, I was totally blind. And when I tell you, even though I had raised four kids, I had a lot of doubt in my abilities to care for my daughter by myself. You know, that was scary for me. But I just, you know, had to understand and realize that, you know, I know I'm not going to break her. You know, yes, things might be a little messy. Yes, things might not be, you know, ideal, but safety was not a concern for me. If I had to sit there with her on my lap for 8 hours, then that's what I would do. Yeah. You know, but I did it because I made sure, and trust me, there was many times when me and her were at home alone by ourselves a lot. And there was times when I was on my hands and knees on the floor with her.
Yeah.
You know, following right behind her, you know, so there was a lot of things. And so at the end of the day, the thoughts that come to me now about that when they got older and as adults, it still comes to my mind, like, would my kids be different or better off had they not gone through this experience? I still have doubts about my parenting as a mother, as a blind mother, you know.
Don't all parents?
Yeah, exactly.
Blind or sighted.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So yeah, it was, you know, it was a journey, and my kids, you know, they were great, but it was also, you know, I also wanted to make sure I didn't put more on them than I should have because of my blindness.
Yeah.
I remember one time my son, I had a girlfriend over, and she was visiting me, and this was about maybe a year into my blindness. And she asked me for something or to see something. And I said, oh, let me go and get it. And she says, well, why don't you send one of the kids to get it. I was like, no, I'll go get it. And I'm sitting she was saying this because I'm like struggling to get out the chair and point of doing that was because, you know, oh no, I'm independent. I can do this. I got this. And so I kind of confided in her. I said, you know, I don't really like to ask them to do a lot of stuff because I don't, you know, want them to regret the fact that, you know, their mom's blind and they have to do stuff. So yeah. She looked at me and she said, I am 100% sighted, and I send my kids to get stuff probably every 30 minutes. And she says, yeah, that has nothing to do with blind or sighted. She said, that is parent privilege. And then I think about how many times as a child I was called mm-hmm. in from outside, playing outside to come in and get something and do something for my mom or, you know, my parents. So from that, I said, you know what, she's absolutely right. If I really want to give them a normal childhood, that is normal. Go run upstairs and get the whatever I'm looking for off of my bed, you know? So it took me a minute to adjust to the line of what's too much on my kids because of my blindness versus what are they supposed to be and have in their lives as a kid?
Yeah.
So
it's a really interesting kind of conversation, I think, because to me, that is a central challenge or struggle that we face mm-hmm. every single day.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Being blind is, when is it okay to ask for help? Mm-hmm. And when is it important for us to prove that we are independent?
Right.
And that's a question that hopefully we all find our own comfort zone in.
Right.
Yeah. What is okay for us to ask for help on? Yeah. When do we feel the need? And it's not just in parenting, but in every aspect of life. When in work is it okay to say, listen, Mr. Supervisor, Mr. Team Manager, Mr. Colleague, Miss Colleague, mm-hmm. You know, when is it okay to say, it would be easy if we could do it this way mm-hmm. because of my visual impairment?
Yeah.
And when is it important for us to say, no, I can do this myself, so I'm going to do it myself?
Yeah. You feel, do you go, because, you know, for me, I think I have that bad. I think that's a problem for me because mm-hmm. I'm always trying to, when I know that something can be done a better way by somebody else, but it was, let's just say it's a task that was brought mm-hmm. to me or assigned to me, right? Because I don't want, I want to show them I can, I'm always proving or trying to prove to everybody that I got this, you know, that she can do this or she can do it, you know, but that kind of has kicked me in the butt sometimes too, because, uh-huh. you know, I get a lot more put on me than I would or than I should, because I'm always the one showing that I can do it. And you got those sighted people over there that are like, oh, I don't know how to do it. And so I'm looking at that as my opportunity to stand out against them, above them. Right. And I have to, and I don't know when or how, but I have to understand that I don't have to spend my whole life trying to overachieve. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Trying to make sure that everybody knows I can do this. She doesn't need anybody. She can do it. I have to stop doing that.
It really is something that I think is, I would almost go as far as saying that it's pretty much common to most people mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. our community, mm-hmm. feeling the constant need to prove that we can.
We can, yes, yes.
And why is that? Is that something we learn? Is it just that we are never taught as children, and I'm non-disabled or disabled? Are we not taught as children?
I believe that, it's societal interpretation. Yeah. I think it's, I think if society had more faith in the abilities of disabled people, we wouldn't yeah. have to fight so hard to show that we got this mm-hmm. too. And that's, yeah. you know, and that again brings that back to the whole awareness thing, right? That does. Brings it because yeah. they just don't know. But even these sighted people that were our colleagues and our people all around us that are sighted, you know, because they expect so little from us. It's almost like yeah. I get a pass because I'm blind.
Yeah. And we don't want to take advantage yeah, of it.
Yes. Yes. I get a pass and I don't like that.
I don't ever want to be patronized.
Yes.
By
yes.
people assuming,
mm-hmm.
oh, she can't be, yeah. she's blind.
Yeah. It's okay. She can't do it.
Fuels our need
yeah.
to prove that we can.
Yep. Absolutely.
If that's serves us or not, I think is a question mm-hmm. for another day.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think it's a real conversation, and maybe we'll hear this one coming up on Blind Table Talk.
Yeah, right.
In the future.
Know, exactly. Yes. Yes. I'll make a note of that because I think that can be a series, really, because this probably yeah. can never be answered. I think this will be a continual conversation that needs to be had. Yeah. But yes.
And possibly one that there is no single answer to. Maybe it's different yep. for each of us.
Yep. Yeah. That's probably true.
So I've got a final question that I do want to ask you, but it goes back to what you're saying about the professionals network.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. before we go to that question, if people would like to learn more about you and would like to reach out to you, where is the best place for them to do that?
Okay. So, you know, just telling somebody the other day, I just have so many different ways of communication, methods of contacting. Yeah. So, you know, for each entity and all of that stuff, yes. you know, it's just so crazy. But, you know, I am just going to kind of general for me, okay, because it's going to keep it away from any entity. And then we can get directed, you know, talk about whatever needs to be talked about. But my email address that I would like to give, and please, anybody that needs to reach out to me for whatever reason, even if it's just for a few words of encouragement, I welcome that. Mm-hmm. Is BVI, and that's of course stands for Blind and Visually Impaired, and it's Empowered. BVI Empowered, EMPO WERED at outlook.com. Okay. So that is kind of like my email that I use just when it comes in from everywhere. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the easiest one. And if BVI empowered at outlook.com is not enough, and I am, you can also do, which could be easier to remember, is blind butterfly at icloud.com. So those are my two emails that I can be reached at any time by anyone. And then, of course, you know, don't forget to visit, you know, our websites, which, you know, for Blind Table Talk is blindtabletalk.com. And to learn about Blind Professionals Network, it is blindpronet.org. So those are some websites. Yeah. And both of those pages have resources on them that you can, you know, that for the BVI community, you know, just some good different resources out there on both of those websites for.
Brilliant. Thank you. We will add all of those into the show notes for the episode, so people can just hyperlink and click on them or type them in and pop onto those websites, because I totally got lost for a good amount of time on the Blind Table Talk website, all the resources that you have available. And now that I know about the Blind ProNet site as well, yes, I'm going to be spending a bit of time looking at that one as well. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing those.
Thank you.
Okay, so talking about the Blind Professionals Network, what advice would you give a blind professional to help them if they've just become newly blind, they've learned some of the skills, they are feeling comfortable moving back into the workplace? What would be the kind of advice that you would give to them about how they should go about doing that?
I think one of the main things for us is, you know, number one, do not get discouraged about anything. Okay.
Yeah.
The opportunities that come up in job search and interviews and all of that stuff, they will come up. And if you do not get those positions for whatever reasons, okay, then use that as practice for those interviews. But the main thing that I want to make sure that we as a community are doing is to make sure that we have those skills. We have the experience that we are needed for these jobs that we are doing. It's so easy for people to say, well, they didn't hire me, they didn't hire me, but yet you didn't meet some of the
were you qualified for the role in the first place?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, now I get that sometimes you are, right?
Yeah.
And that happens a lot, because it's happened to me. I have went from, you know, maybe 10 interviews were before I got a job. You know, yeah. And so I've been rejected a lot, but that rejection, you know, I use that to, it fuels me, you know, but it can get, you know, discouraging.
Mm-hmm. So it can get.
But one of the things that I want especially everybody to know is there are resources out here for us. There's no excuse for us to not know. If you want a job, there's resources. And I'm not talking about just state agencies and all that stuff, because they're out there too. But there are so many organizations that are out here that can help us to get the skills, even if it's, you know, workshops, if there are seminars, all of these things that are out here, and a lot of them are free. And so please take advantage of the resources that are out here for us. You know, people are always saying, well, they won't do the, give me a job, and they won't do this. You know, you have to make your own way. You have to, you know, demand your way through, but you cannot demand anything if you don't know anything. And that's, you know, where it is important. Get out there, get those resources, and get that training. Get the skills, get equipped with the tools that you need to succeed.
That's great advice.
Thank you.
Any final comments that you would like to wrap up as a way of encouraging and motivating our audience, both those with disabilities and those without?
Yes. Well, you know, I think one of the main things I, you know, like to say is, you know, no matter what we're going through, okay, and this is for everybody, because no matter what we are going through, you know, it could always be worse. And people, you know, I said that one time when I was speaking in at a seminar, and I said that, and somebody actually said, "What's worse than being blind?" And I, you know, there's a lot worse than being blind.
Yeah.
I could be blind and be in a wheelchair. I can be in, which there are people that are blind. But guess what? Even if you're blind and in a wheelchair, it still can get worse than that. So
and that's going to depend on each individual person's perspective.
And so, you know, I just want people to understand and know that, and that they're not alone. You know, we are a community, our community does, but there's so many others that are supporters and out there that are here for us as well. But if people think that, you know, you're the only one going through this stuff, please, I encourage you to step out and get out of the box, you know, step out of your box. It's okay to get those results. Confidence, independence, that is something that we all have to come into in our own terms. So when you're ready, and do not let anybody put the timeline on when you are ready, because that's another thing that, you know, we have to understand. Everybody comes to the acceptance and the in their own time when they're ready. And so when you are ready, you will thrive. And that's what is really, I want our listeners and your listeners to know, is that you will thrive as soon as you're ready. And there's a lot of us out here that are encouraging you and here to support you in that journey as well.
Beautiful words. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
So today, on A Different Way of Seeing, we have been chatting with Saida Victoria, who, as she explained during the interview, wears a number of different hats, all happy, which is great. And Saida, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, sharing your experiences, your wisdom with us today on A Different Way of Seeing.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me so much. I appreciate you.
Hi, it's Lois again. I'm not certain if you know, but I am a coach who works specifically with people with disabilities. If you have a disability and are wanting to achieve your goals, or maybe think through some of the challenges that you're facing in your professional or personal life, or want to take up a new opportunity, a new adventure, but just don't seem to be able to get to doing it, let's explore how I can help you. Hop onto the Contact Me form on my website, www.loisstrachan.com. That's Lois Strachan, LOISSTRACHAN.com. And sign up for a 30-minute discovery call so we can chat to see if I am the right person to help you to achieve your goals. Contact me now for that free 30-minute discovery call on loisstrachan.com. I'd love to have the opportunity of helping you to achieve your goals.
Thank you for listening to A Different Way of Seeing. We would love to connect with you. So find Lois at loisstrachan.com or Facebook, Lois Strachan Speaker. This podcast was edited by Craig Strachan using Hindenburg Pro. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. The credits are done at Naledi Media. Naledi Media, all your vocal needs under one roof. Read by Charlie Yasi. That's it for now. Thank you for joining us and see you next time when we bring you into the world of seeing differently.